Well, thank you so much. And thank you, Cindy from Idaho, for contacting me and doing service. It sounds like, and also Cindy for the timer and the leaders. It sounds like all of this is a very active group. It's wonderful to see participating in the program of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm Jeannie. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Michigan right now. It's 3 p.m. back here, and I'm just always happy to contribute that to a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and to carry the message like it was carried to me. Let me get some numbers out of the way. I have been in Overeaters Anonymous now for 36 years and 3 months. I'm maintaining back-to-back abstinence, by the way, maintaining 121-pound weight loss. And I came into OA in Los Angeles. I got abstinent in Los Angeles area. I came to into a meeting in June of 1989, and I got abstinence July 28th, 1989. And this is the old timers out there. I mean, actually, I knew the founder of Overeaters Anonymous, Roseanne, and I had lunch with her many, many times. But aside from all that, she's just a compulsive overeater, just like us. But of course, she's now in heaven. But in any case, my story is the fact that I was born a compulsive, and I've gained and lost before this. Before, let me finish my bio here. Before I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I gained and lost 700 pounds. And I'd been all over the world seeking help for Overeaters Anonymous. What's wrong with me? And I just could never understand. And I was a professional dieter. I'm a nutritional wizard. I know everything about food, but that means absolutely nothing when it comes to combating this disease. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So I was born a compulsive overeater. That's it. I don't blame any person, place, thing, idea, situation, and/or circumstance for my compulsive overeating disease. I had a semi-regular childhood, and I do, and I had there were some bad things that occurred in my childhood, but I do not carry them around as my calling card. I do not wear those on my sleeve. I know that I'm a compulsive overeater. I am mentally and bodily different from my fellow man. I'm a compulsive overeater for three reasons. I have a spiritual malady. I have an emotional disorder, instability, and immaturity about myself. And I am a physical allergy to certain types of foods. And that's my story about being a compulsive overeater. So I was born in a tiny coal mining town in Pennsylvania. My dad was a coal miner. We were very poor, but we didn't have much money, but we were as rich as we could be. Small town, beautiful upbringing, bikes, all this kind of stuff, going to my grandfather's farm on the weekend. But I was always fat. I was fat from the get-go. But this disease is very progressive. In high school, I had to lose, I thought I had to lose 35 pounds, which I did. And then I gained 50. Then I lost 50. I gained 65. Then I lost 65, gained 75. Lost 75, gained 100, lost 100, gained 120, all the way up to gaining and losing 700 pounds before I came to Overeaters Anonymous in June of 1989. I had no idea that the disease of compulsive overeater is this. Compulsive overeating is this. It is a mental illness. It's a mental illness. It has nothing to do with food or my taste buds or my stomach or anything like that. It is a mental illness. When I have a problem in my life or I feel a feeling coming up, most people in the world do not stand in front of the refrigerator and look for an answer to that. I do because I have a disease of compulsive overeating. And it's a deadly disease. It's a terminal illness. So going up and down 700 pounds, I had a very lucrative career in Beverly Hills, California, meaning I made a lot of money. And that afforded me to travel all over the world to look for an answer to why I can't stay skinny. I know how to get skinny. I'll lock myself in a cage for 6 months and eat carrots. I'm going to get skinny. But how do I live life without compulsively overeating? How do I live life without using the tool of compulsive overeating to live life? I wanted that. Nobody had that answer. I'd been to doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, psychiatrists, nutritionists, fat farms, cosmetic surgeons, clairvoyants, and fortune tellers. And you know what they did? They all taught me how to get skinny and be skinny, but no one helped me how to stay skinny. I wanted that magic. I wanted that magic. How do I stay stopped? And that's how I gained and lost 700 pounds, because no one really helped me manage the ins and outs of life, the ins and outs of life without turning to compulsive overeating. And that's what was going on with me. I went to nutritional wizards. I know nutrition backward and forward. You name me the, tell me the food right now. I'll tell you all the nutrients in it. Calories, potassium, sodium, you name it. I know it all. That means absolutely nothing to this disease of compulsive overeating. It is a progressive disease. And so up and down 700 pounds. And in June of 1989, I couldn't do it again. I was 5'8", I weighed 262 pounds, and I just could not waddle down the streets of Beverly Hills one more time. Because in those days, fat, you were a leper. If you're obese in Beverly Hills, California, people cross the street not even to be near you. Because obesity at that time, you were a circus freak. Don't even look at them. Don't look them in the eye. You're a subhuman. And I got to my wit's end, and I wasn't out of money. But I was out of people in the yellow pages. There was no one left to call. And this is 1989. I remember that. And so I went to, and I was going to, I planned my suicide. I had to get off planet Earth because I couldn't live with food and I could not live without it. It was my worst enemy and my best friend. I would come home from being from my career in Beverly Hills, and I would flip a coin. If I had a great day, I binge my brains out to reward myself. Flipped a coin again. If I had a bad day, I binge my brains out to comfort myself. Bad day, binge. Good day, binge. Raining, binge. Sunshining, binge. That was my life. I binged to eat. I binged to live. That was my currency to live. But so what happened, planning my suicide, I had a friend that said, come to Overeaters Anonymous. And I did. June of 1989 in Santa Monica, California, I walked in my first meeting. And I thought I walked into a modeling agency. I'll be honest with you. Now, this is out in Hollywood where everybody's in show business, right? And they are reed thin and they are dressed to the nines. And I thought, I got the wrong damn meeting. This is a modeling agency. No, these were serious butt Overeaters Anonymous girls, Overeaters Anonymous. And these girls work this program as it is written. None of this free to be me, free to be you garbage. They were big book thumpers and they were reed thin, peaceful. They were very successful. And I wanted what they had. I know how to be successful. I mean, I was very successful in my career, but how do I get peace from compulsive overeating? And they had that. Not only were they not eating, they didn't want to eat. And they had tragedies occurring in their life. Kid wrecked the motorcycle, house burned down, they got fired. Not only were they not eating, but they didn't want to eat. I wanted that freedom. I wanted that freedom from obsession to compulsively overeat. And you know what? I got it. How'd I get it? I got a sponsor. I began to work the steps. I went to meetings. I began to do service. I read the literature. I write in the literature. And they told me a couple things. They go, you don't have to be fat again, ever again. You don't have to compulsively overeat ever again. Get in the middle of the herd and get in the middle of the herd, because the wolves pick the ones off on the outside. Do not be an observant, be a participant. Do not show up for 1 hour a day at a meeting and think you're recovered. The day has 23 other hours. And I was in the middle of the herd. They said, jump in the river of recovery and let the current take you. And I did. I attached myself to those winners. They were working the program. They were in the middle of the herd. And you know what happened, ladies and gentlemen? I melted like a stick of butter in a hot frying pan. I dropped 121 pounds without even trying. I was so busy working the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And that's exactly what happened to me. I got in the middle of the herd, made phone calls, sponsor people, read the literature, go to meetings. And I established a daily routine, and I still have it today, 36 years and 3 months later. My daily routine is very structured, takes like maybe an hour and a half, hour tops. In the morning, I have my OA structure. My structured day is like the Olympics. In the morning, I have an opening ceremony, and at night, I have a closing ceremony. Because I am a dumpster eating, garbage can eating, compulsive overeater. And my size 24s are still out in the garage waiting for me because my disease is cunning, baffling, powerful, and patient. I teach my sponsees that word, patient, because I have somebody right now who is in a 200-pound relapse because she forgot she had a mental illness and she thought being skinny was enough. She thought going to the meetings were enough. She thought reading the literature was enough. No, she was not sponsoring anybody, not making any outreach calls. And, you know, I was taught that this is not a college course. It's not a study course. I know this literature in two languages and I have a photographic memory. I know this. I don't have to read the books anymore. I know the literature. That means nothing. It's a program of action. And so I got in the middle of the herd. And it turns out I melted like a stick of butter in a hot frying pan. My life unfolded before me. All of the dreams that I ever had in my life never came true. What came true was something 50 times thousand better than all the dreams I ever had. You know, I'm leading a life today that I never even dreamed of, that I would never imagine. If someone said that the life I'm having today, in the previous 36 years, by the way, of maintaining 121-pound weight loss. Now, I've had unbelievable good fortune befall me in program, and I have not binged over it. And on the flip side of that, I have unspeakable tragedies that have occurred in this program. My brother died from this disease. My brother, my own brother, who saw his sister Jeannie go to meetings for 20 years before he died of diabetes. They were going to cut his legs off, and he decided to take his own life medically because they weren't going to get his legs. So the moral of the story is, I do not binge over anything. And I overeat. I don't want anybody here thinking that I'm eating like a rabbit. My meals are nutritional, abundant, and delicious. I travel all over the world. I do not fear getting fat. I have my daily routine, my phone calls, my meetings, and I can put an abstinent dinner together in a 7-Eleven in 10 minutes. There's no place I can't go and not eat. I will work around whatever's going on in that kitchen. I can do that. And I've done it because when I was weighed 262 pounds, size 24 at 5'8", I was a prisoner. I couldn't go anywhere. And then when I lost my 120 pounds before OA many times, I couldn't go anywhere because I had to stay in my house for fear that I would be triggered to eat again. Now I am free. I travel all over the world. I go to everybody's parties. I'm very social. And my husband says to me, "How can you not eat that?" Well, I pray on the way to the social event. And also I bookend my social events. I absolutely call somebody before I go to the event, tell them what I'm not going to eat. What I'm not going to eat is a very, very small list, very small. And then when I come back from the meeting, from the social event, I call them again. That's called bookending. That's a fabulous tool. I am never alone with this disease anymore. I'm afraid to go into my own mind alone. It is crucial to have a sponsor. It is critical to work the steps. It's crucial to have a routine and make outreach calls with other people because isolation is a very big part of my life. Left to my own devices, I would like to not go to OA, sit in a recliner for the rest of my life, read, binge my brains out, and watch movies on my iPad. That is a happy place for me, okay? But that is deadly. That is deadly. It won't kill me. That's the problem. I mean, I don't mind dying from this disease, but what I do mind is going back out there living in it, fat, obese, in society. I'm a second-class citizen when I walk into restaurants. When I was in Beverly Hills, I had internationally famous clients, and I would take them to these restaurants in Beverly Hills for lunch and to discuss their business matters and stuff. And I looked like Mama Cass, you know, the Mamas and Papas, for those of you who might know that musical group. And people would ask me for my autograph like I was Mama Cass. I couldn't believe it. I'm 5'8", I'm 262 pounds. We're in a muumuu, you know, on the streets of Beverly Hills. And so what the restaurants would do is they would set us in the back. because they don't want fat people sitting in the front of the restaurant because they want to decorate the restaurant, the front of it, with gorgeous, thin, glamorous people. And then when I got skinny in OA, they put me in the front of the restaurant because I was skinny and I was with a famous client. And that, you know, that's a visual world. There's no way to get around it. It's a visual world. And that's what makes me very sad, because I was the same person when I was 262 pounds as when I was 125 pounds. They just didn't realize, because it's a visual world. You know, as soon as they laid their eyes on this obese woman, they went, get her out, get her out. But so now, and, you know, so my disease was very deadly. So what I was doing is I would be on the beaches in Malibu with a string leather bikini in July. And then on the fast forward 6 months later at a Christmas party, I'd be in a size 24 black velvet muumuu waddling in because I just gained 150 pounds in 6 months. How do you do that? How do I do it? I watch the news like I'm some freak, like I can control the world. I turn off the news. I stay inside of my own hula hoop. I do not bother other people's lives or their God. There's a God out there. I have a God in my life. This is a spiritual program. I turn off all that BS. It's all for the ratings anyway. I'm off the news. I'm out of the newspapers. And the best thing I can do is vote and send people money if I want them to win the election. That's all I can do. I do not mind your business. I stay inside of my own hula hoop. I gained and lost like 300 pounds over something. And they go, oh my God, why? And I go, this is like 35 years ago. Don't you know that that person, that leader in the world over there in South Africa, is a total butthole? They're looking at me like I was nuts. They go, why don't you mind your own business and pay taxes, clean your house, make sure your car is clean, your house is clean, you carry the message, you're kind to other people in the world. That's the best I can do today, inside of my own hula hoop, and mind my own damn business. So that's what I've been. I've moved out from Southern California. I'm currently in Northern Michigan, gorgeous, gorgeous country out here. I live on Lake Michigan. I have kayaks in the water. I have a dock in the water. I have a horse that's like 6 minutes from where I'm sitting. I have a cat, a dog. I wouldn't have any of this if I was not only not thin, because being thin is only one third of the recovery. But I must get down to the causes and conditions of why I ate. It's in the big book. My character defects. Am I taking the action today to keep compulsive overeating thinking out of my mind? I am mentally and bodily different from my fellow man. I must remember that. I have a mental illness. And if I'm thinking about binge eating, that is the last stage of a slip. Not the first stage, the last stage. What was I not doing yesterday? Did I make calls? Did I read the literature? Did I go to the meeting? Did I bust myself? Did I look at all the BS behavior I did yesterday or last month? Well, no wonder I feel like eating today. That is the last stage of a slip. Did I take any action yesterday to prevent my compulsive overeating mind from sneaking in the back door and kidnapping me and holding me hostage? No. No wonder I feel like eating, for God's sake. What the hell was I doing? This is a program of action. And as I said, I have a structured, I'll tell you my routine is, Cindy has my phone number. If you want to know, you can call me. But actually my routine has kept 121 pounds off for 36 years and 3 months. I have a relatively peaceful life with myself and with the world. And I managed to go through traumatic events without binge eating. And I have the 12 steps, everything I put to the light of the 12 steps. Things turn out the way they're supposed to turn out. And I thank God a lot of the things that I thought were supposed to turn out have not turned out, because God knows what's better for me than I do. It's in our literature. It's a mental illness. I have a severe case of self-centeredness and self-pity. And I have to get the hell out of my way and put others before me. So I'm going to end probably just a little bit early here, and I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. And it's a joyous day for me. I'm thin. I love it. I wear clothes I wore 25, 30 years ago when I moved here. I mean, I buy really good clothes. So they're still in my closet in bags. They're very protected. I can't believe I still fit into them no matter what goes on in my life. My food plan is totally separate from what goes on in my day today. My food plan must have a life of its own. It doesn't matter what happens in the world today. My food plan must be totally separate from what goes on in my life, in the world, in my country, in my state, in my neighborhood. I must stay inside of my own hula hoop. So, and I do that one day at a time. And I do want to remind everybody, everything I'm just saying now is subject to change tomorrow. So thank you for letting me share. And I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. That's it for me. Thank you.